And welcome back. The country remains in shock and in mourning following last week's tragedy in Newtown, Connecticut. There are many proposals for heading off such violence, including gun control, new rules for gun show sales, better mental health screening. St. Louis County Police Chief Tim Fitch has suggested the scope of such tragedies could be lessened or perhaps even avoided altogether if school personnel were armed and trained to take on assailants. Colonel Fitch joins us by phone to talk about his idea. Chief, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for inviting me, Don. Appreciate it.
On balance, what has the response been to your idea as you've seen it?
Well, there's been all kinds of responses, as you might guess. And first of all, if I could just clarify a little bit and then maybe explain a little bit more than how you introduced it, was what I talked about is when I talk about the possibility of giving qualified school officials this tool, it's only if there's no other alternative, such as having an armed police officer assigned to that school, armed security officer. We've already talked about, you know, security features for the building and harden the building. But at the end of the day, if an armed gunman makes it into the school, what options are available when they start shooting until the law enforcement officers arrive? I'm absolutely convinced when law enforcement arrives, we're going to take care of the problem. However, there's a critical 5 minutes, and I think in Connecticut they said 10-minute time period when killing is going on. What's our alternatives for that time period? And one of the alternatives on the table is to talk about actually training qualified school personnel to have a firearm available to take immediate action. That's what I've been talking about.
You know, we put out on our Facebook page and also through Twitter the fact that you were going to be on this program and talking about this proposal, which has received an awful lot of discussion, obviously. And overwhelmingly, the people who have responded to it call it an unacceptable idea. What happens when a teacher shoots a kid, one of them says. Absolutely not acceptable. If a teacher doesn't take out someone, can you imagine how the blame is going to be passed? These are the kind of responses we're getting, which would indicate that there doesn't seem to be a lot of public sentiment for this under any circumstances.
Sure. And what I would say to those individuals, and I have said, okay, you just heard the problem. You got that 5 or 10 minute. How do you think we should respond to that? And nobody has an answer. Nobody has said, well, I would do this. They just say, I don't like what you said. I think it's unacceptable. It's irresponsible. You should be fired. I mean, I've heard all of that. But nobody has an answer for that critical time period. They all want to talk about gun control. They all want to talk about mental health treatment. And I think all those should be on the table for discussion as well. But that's not the part that I'm talking about.
Sure.
I'm talking about that critical 5 to 10 minutes. How do you want to respond to that? And let's not act like it's not going to happen again.
Yeah, just looking at it, and I'm certainly not evaluating personally the idea that you've put forward. But I happen to know, having done some work in this area, about the rapid response to an active shooter strategy and the fact that it does take a little time for an officer to get there. But one of the things that I see potentially is that first officer coming in and potentially seeing someone with a gun and not knowing it's a teacher.
Sure.
You've got a real problem.
That happens to us all the time.
Yeah.
We have off-duty officers in blue jeans and T-shirts that take an action, and they have a gun. We're trained how to respond to the officers that are responding. We would have to do the exact same thing to the school officials. This is how you respond to that. I'm not talking about handing out guns at the front door. I've been accused of saying that for all the school personnel when they come in. I'm talking about only school officials that want to take this on, that are qualified and properly trained by us on how to respond to these kind of situations. And no, do I think every teacher should be in this position? Absolutely not. I'm talking about one or two people per school that want to stand up and said, I'll be the person that will do this. We have many, many teachers that apply and get CCW permits. Many teachers in the summertime are security officers on their time off. So we know that there are qualified people that could do this if the school districts and if the parents and the citizens want to consider that option. And again, I go back to, if you don't like that idea, what's your idea? I keep asking people for their idea, and I'm not hearing anything.
You'll be getting together, or at least representatives of the county police department. I suspect you might be involved.
I will be.
In a meeting tomorrow with school officials to talk about security. Will you put this on the table at a meeting such as that?
It'll be on the table, but like I said a few minutes ago, it's not my call. It's not law enforcement's call. It's our duty to come up with alternatives. This is an alternative. The schools, they're responsible for their student safety. They have to make the final call. One of the other things I think needs to be done immediately is the President and Congress need to reinstate funding for cops in schools. We had that after Columbine. Guess what? It dried up in 2003. We haven't had any funding to add officers in schools. So we will be asking, as part of our request to how to deal with this, is let's make funding available again for cops in schools, to put them in the grade schools, because cops in schools covered high schools. Well, guess what? The bad guys figured that out, and guess where he went? He didn't go to a police station to fight it out because he knew what would happen there. He went to a place where he knew there'd be sitting ducks. And I just think it's unacceptable to sit back and say, you know what, this is going to continue to happen. We can't do anything about it. There's nothing else on the table. So I merely threw out the option of having qualified school officials have a firearm available to them. And yes, accidents can happen with firearms. We see it all the time. We see it in law enforcement.
You have resource officers, police resource officers at schools in the county, do you not, at least at some schools?
We have 33.
33 out of how many schools?
We have 12 districts that we contract with, and most of them are assigned to high schools, some to middle schools, and some will spend time in the elementary schools. What we don't have is a full-time police presence in the elementary schools.
Are these officers armed?
Yes, they are. They're regular county police officers.
And have there been any incidents in which these officers have been involved?
Where they've actually had to take on an armed assailant? No.
Or take on someone who is considered dangerous?
Oh, absolutely. There's been many of those occasions. You may get a call that there's somebody at the front counter in the office that's, you know, mentally disturbed or in a crisis, and you need to come over and deal with it because that's who they call. They call the police, and in this particular case, they'll call the resource officer because they're already on the premises.
Getting back to this meeting tomorrow, what other issues do you think are going to be high on the agenda?
I certainly there's going to be discussion about hardening schools as far as. But you got to remember, this guy in Connecticut broke into the school. From best we could tell, he broke into the school. It was locked. They had intruder drills at this school. What else do we need to talk about? Those are all going to be on the table. And we're really looking also for the schools to tell us what they want.
The schools, I get the impression the schools have not had a whole lot of input in this dialogue for a good long while now.
Well, again, I think after you have a massive school shooting like we saw in Columbine, and then you don't have anything really big for a little while after that, people tend to move on to other topics, and they tend to forget about it. But what I'm saying is there somebody out there in this country, maybe a few people, who knows, they're trying to sit back and think, how can I make a bigger impact than this guy did in Connecticut?
We have a couple of callers who'd like to get into the conversation,
sure.
Chief, if you don't mind. Let's bring in Kristen calling from Imperial. She seems to be very high on your idea. Let's listen to her. Go ahead, Kristen.
Hi, I am just so glad that somebody with a little bit louder of a voice than I have is willing to breach this topic because I think it is an excellent idea. I know that I personally would feel much safer with my second graders at the school that they're at if I knew that if something like this were to happen, that somebody can take care of it before the police get there. That there was that one teacher that, you know, shielded her students with her own body. What if she had a weapon, I know she would have used it, and maybe a lot of people would have been saved. And I just, where can I sign to make this happen? Because I just think it's a wonderful idea. And people that feel like this is a bad idea because of, you know, gun control issues or whatever, you know, haven't really considered what they would do in that situation and how people can really deal with it. How do you deal with an armed assailant without a firearm? There isn't much you can do.
Well, one of the people sent me an email said we should give the teachers tasers. That's not how you deal with an armed assailant.
No, it's not.
They've also got to be within about 15 feet of the assailant, which is
absolutely
pretty darn close. Let's take a call from Jay in Normandy who has an idea. I suspect you've already considered this, but let's bring in Jay. Go ahead.
Yeah, besides gun control, which I think is paramount, I think that there could be a hiring process of retired law enforcement officers. People get out of the military pretty early and pretty at young ages even. And, you know, there's plenty of retired military MPs, defense forces from the Air Force, people that have the same kind of training that civilian PD guys have. So I think you could take a look at those kind of things. Just remember, I heard the American Federation of Teachers president on NBC's Meet the Press. They didn't want teachers armed. So I think you got to deal with reality there, sir.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about that. Remember what I said, it's the school's decision. It's not ours. It's not law enforcement's. I'm just putting an option on the table. And And I agree with you. I have heard that about, you know, retired military folks, people coming back from, you know, their military service overseas to use them. I think that's also should be on the table. The issue with the schools in that arena is we don't have the money to pay them. So, you know, there's also been discussion about, you know, how about volunteers? I will tell you, I went to Israel a year and a half ago, and I spent some time there talking and seeing how they handled their problems in the schools. They have an armed individual at every school and on every school bus. And when's the last time there was a shooting at a school in Israel? And they're one of the most targeted people in the world. And basically what's happened is a terrorist said, we have to go somewhere else. We're not going to succeed here. And you got to remember, that's what's on these people's mind when they do this. Their fear isn't being killed. Their fear isn't going to jail. Their fear is not accomplishing the mission they set out to do, and that's to kill as many people as they can.
Can I talk about Israel real quick? I just saw a thing on the World yesterday or the day before, and Israel restricts the weapons that are available in that country. Of course, everybody has to have military training.
Yes.
But there was a good story on the World, theworld.org, on NPR, and they're very restrictive about firearms in Israel.
And again, they have the luxury to do that. In this country, best I've heard is there's more guns out there than there are people. I think we're past that stage.
Then restrict ammunition, as Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan said. That's the way you stop this. Restrict it. Follow the sale of ammunition. There's things that can be done, Chief.
Oh, no, I'm not saying there can't be things done. But what do you do about the millions of rounds that are already out there?
Again, attrition will finally take them down. I guess these guys actually go out and target practice. It's not totally for these terrible reasons.
Right. Well, yeah, and absolutely, that's a long-term solution. I'm talking about what do we do a month from now? That's what I'm talking about.
Attrition may do it, but there are 310 million guns out there, supposedly, so that's going to take some attrition before.
That's my point. I have to deal with reality. That's what we have to deal with in law enforcement. How do we deal with this next week, a month from now? Not 5 years down the road or 10 years down the road when people have shot up all the .223 ammo. We're talking about today.
You know, I think people may not understand that most of the police officers that I've spoken with over the years are not fans of having all these guns out there because ultimately they may be confronted by them, including these assault weapons.
No doubt.
What is your feeling about an assault weapon ban as a police chief?
Again, I go back to that horse is already out of the barn.
Yeah.
That's out there. We have to deal with it. Whatever we talk about from here forward only affects the future. And that's a political discussion that I'd rather not have. That's something that's up to the public and their elected officials. I have to deal with reality. I have to deal with what if this happens next week.
Do you feel, since having made this comment, this suggestion, this proposal, that you've been on the defensive?
No, but I've been forced, and it's a good force, to explain my position.
Right.
And by the way, at the end of my discussion, most people still can't give me a solution to what they would do other than for the future. Long term.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of folks, including Senator Bond, who was in the studio off air, was saying that probably we'll talk about it for a month or so, and then that will kind of fade away and we'll be right back where we were.
Just like we did in Columbine.
Exactly. Let's go back to the phones and bring in Sherry calling from Fenton. Sherry, go ahead. You're on the air with Chief Fitch.
Yes. Don, there were two military-trained people, I believe, in the Aurora shooting. They had guns on them. They had no way of reacting fast enough to take care of the situation. And as it ended up, they ended up having to have police come in and take care of the situation. People think their response to things is a lot faster than it is. And they also think that they could just go shooting around without having something internal that stops us from killing another human being. That has to be taken down too. And I am very scared of having guns in places where people who are mentally unstable can get a hold of them.
Okay. So
that's what causes this.
Sure. So what's your solution if somebody walks into school a month from now and starts shooting? How do you want that handled?
Hot button. A nice hot button. And cops on the ready to go in.
I understand that, but they have a response time. They have to drive there and get there. What's your response? What do you want done in that 10 minutes?
What were they going to do in the school? Shoot this guy because he looked mentally unstable? That's going to cause lots of problems.
Who would shoot him? You talk about somebody that would be qualified to do it?
Let's say they all had guns. Let's put one gun in every schoolroom in the United States.
Okay.
What happens when that person comes in?
Uh-huh.
Are you going to just start shooting them because they look crazy?
No. They would have to be walking in and taking some kind of an adversarial action. You can't just go in and start shooting people because they look crazy, using your words. They would have to do some sort of action to show what they're going to do. So if someone walks into a school with an assault weapon and it starts firing, I can't think of any other good reason why they would be doing that than lethal force has to be used against that individual. There's no other option.
Jerry wants to get into the conversation in the time that we have left, and he brings up a point that I know you've considered and would certainly be a part of anything that you've discussed. So, Jerry, go ahead. Make your point, please.
Yes, I spent a large portion of my life training emergency procedures, and I'm sure you're very familiar with the fact that unless people use these on a regular basis,
absolutely,
they can have the best training in the world, and it's not going to stick. And also, people get complacent because you go day after day, year after year, without anything happening.
No doubt.
And also, a significant percentage of police officers are killed every year or injured with their own weapon. They are disarmed and killed. And they're obviously trained and use them frequently, at least in a practice sense. I know you wanted a solution. I think the first part is, if this happened, say, at a Target store, we'd have dozens of we'd have high-tech video surveillance, and someone approaching a school with body armor and a rifle is obviously going to be suspicious. And yes, I will, to a degree, perhaps, an armed individual, a trained armed individual, their only focus is to react in a situation like this, would be, I think, a better solution than pouring
no doubt.
A lot of time and energy
That's number
into
one.
Trying to train someone who's that is not their primary focus. And as we all know, if that is not their primary focus, eventually they're going to be as rusty as anyone else.
Remember I said last resort. This, what I'm talking about, is a last resort option. I agree with you. Those are perishable skills. That's why I have to go to the firearms range 5 times a year and then do judgmental shooting and all the different things that we have to do. We're talking about that kind of training that we would have to do for whoever would step up if this ever gets in that, you know, the discussion phase where somebody's really thinking about this. I really don't think this idea is going to really go anywhere with the schools, but I was asked for what are some alternatives. This is an alternative. It's up to the schools to decide, but I agree with you 100%. The number one priority should be to have a trained armed individual in the schools. But what do you do to the schools who have continued to say we don't have the money to pay for them?
There is kind of a robbing Peter to pay Paul element here, too. If you've got 30-plus officers in schools, they are officers who are not on the streets. These are county police officers we're talking about.
They are being paid by the school. They're not taken off the street and put in schools. They are officers we've added to our staff because of the contract with the school districts.
Well, money is always an issue, is it not? In the time we have left, Chief, I just wanted to give you an opportunity to mention Sheriff Merle Justice, who just passed away over in St. Clair County. A lot of us knew him and respected him, and I know you have a special regard for him.
Absolutely. I've known this man since I was 16 years old, and really he molded me into what I am today. By the way, he was the kind of guy that would say what was on his mind, even if it wasn't popular, and I think you're hearing a little bit about that here lately from myself. I knew it wouldn't be a popular topic and well-received by everybody, but that's not what our jobs are as chief law enforcement officers, and he taught me that. It's your job to lay the options out on the table, evaluate them, and then move forward with the decision to fix the problem. And that's what we're doing in this case. So, I mean, all of those skills are things that I learned from that man for many, many years. And he's just a genuinely nice person. But you also didn't have to wonder where he was coming from. I told the Post-Dispatch last night, he taught me most of the cuss words I know. The only difference is I've learned not to use them in public. And sometimes, you know, Merle, sometimes he didn't care. He just said what was on his mind, and he didn't care who was around. And God bless him. I feel Very fortunate for having known him, and my condolences to his family.
Well, same for me. I knew him fairly well and had known him for a great many years. He had one of the great campaign slogans of all time,
Justice for all.
Mm-hmm. All right. Chief Fitch, thank you so much for being with us, and thank you for taking on this issue, and good luck at your meeting tomorrow. I hope some very fruitful ideas come from.
Thanks, Don.
Take care. Nice talking to you. Before we say goodbye, I want to ask if you have a unique story about the holidays, perhaps a current family tradition or a childhood memory. We want to hear your holiday stories, and we may include them in an upcoming show. Please send us an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org and put holiday in the subject line. Tell us what it's all about. That's talk@stlouispublicradio.org. Tomorrow on St. Louis on the Air, we'll discuss the Midwest and why one Midwest business owner calls it God's gift to planet Earth. Archived versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.